We just heard Jesus teaching the Our Father. He probably taught constantly about prayer, and so when the various evangelists wrote it down, they had a whole rich tradition of what they heard written down. Jesus taught us to pray. Think of the prayers that we use word for word that Jesus gave us. He gave us the Mass in his own words. We try to be very faithful to those words of Jesus. And he gave us the Lord's Prayer. It's a model for all prayer and to help us to prepare for the coming of God's kingdom. Here we are 2,000 years later praying as Jesus prayed and taught us to pray. As we emerge from the pandemic, it's becoming more and more obvious to me that the greatest damage of the pandemic and the quarantine did not come from the virus. It's worse than that. Something even worse has been happening here on Earth, right here in our community. The way we responded to the pandemic has greatly wounded our humanity. It's wounded our faith. Adults and children are struggling and suffering in ways that were not seen before the pandemic. This weekend, right now, downstairs in the cafeteria, we have a retreat for young adults of the parish, aged 18 to 30. On the one hand, it's wonderful as this is the first such retreat for those young people in 3 years. Remember, the churches were closed, like the schools were closed. We went into isolation. And here, for the first time in 3 years, the young adults are having their retreat. But because we've seen prior years of these activities, we know how to compare them. And there's a spiritual distraction in these young people. There's a lethargy among them, a spiritual lethargy that is painful to watch. But thank God they came. In loneliness, and there's been a lot of loneliness, many became depressed, seeking help, solutions in drugs, alcohol, pornography. You've heard the reports in the news of suicides and attempted suicides. They have greatly increased among our youth across the nation, along with thousands of drug overdoses. And meanwhile, the young have been bombarded since the beginning of the pandemic with confusing secular messages and caused them to be very skeptical of the church and the family. One young boy came to his first confession with me a few weeks ago, saying, "Father," imagine this is a 9 or 10 year old boy, beautiful little boy. "Father, I do not know if I am a boy or a girl." That was his confession. The young are confused and spiritually hungry, but they've been isolated and hardened by the world during the shutdowns and the secular messaging, the isolation, that was the worst. Schools were closed, or the classroom was the bedroom with a screen. Churches for a while were closed and people stayed home watching the live stream masses. Isolation. Isolation is not healthy. And over time, it will take a toll. And as we progress through the sacramental season this year in April, May, and June, we discovered more and more the impact of over 2 years of isolation, poor socialization, poor formation. The children we are receiving over and over again demonstrate greatly reduced abilities to focus, just facial interaction. They have difficulty maintaining a conversation. They have difficulty in personal encounters. Many do not even know how to say the Our Father. That was a surprise for me. For your penance, would you say the Our Father? The what, Father? What? The Our Father. You know the Our Father, don't you? Blank stare. Hail Mary? Blank stare. That's a terrible spiritual poverty. But it was completely avoidable. It wasn't necessary. This is a self-inflicted result. Fourth and fifth graders today were in first or second grade when the pandemic began. That's a really critical time of formation for children. Many cannot read or are reading at a lower grade level. Their classroom has been their bedroom with a screen. Without the company of other children around them, when they go out there, wear masks, and they can't see the face and the smile. We get so much formation from seeing each other's faces. Children learn better in the company of other children, together with their teachers. Many school children have fallen behind in their education. Just the Austin School District reported, as have many across the United States, the results that large proportions of their students in the public school systems are way behind. Increased behavioral problems are showing up. We're seeing this all the time. Poor relationships. These are all reported. And in Austin and across the nation, we hear that thousands of experienced teachers are leaving their jobs. You know, I'm a widower, I have children, a daughter who's a teacher, and she says that her colleagues are leaving the schools left and right. We're losing our schools. We're losing the best, most experienced people in education. They don't know how to deal with it. And meanwhile, children and adults have had too much screen time in isolation. They haven't been getting enough we time, our time. Pornography is corrupting adults, men and women, marriages and relationships. Pornography is a social poison, now affecting even young children who are talking about it in the confessional. Too young to know what they're talking about. Pornography lives and thrives in isolation. The pandemic has created a generation of dangerous social and family problems, creating even more problems that we're discovering every day. I think by far and away, history will look back and see that as the biggest effect of the pandemic. Is it hopeless? Is it a lost cause? No. But it needs attention. And it needs the attention of the church and the family. I recently learned of a group of Christian men who are organizing and volunteering in the public schools here in Austin to read to children. The teachers ask them to help with children who are far behind, and the men will sit out in the hallways of the schools with the children and read to them. That's an answer. That's hope. Parents, read to your children and pray with them. Catholic schools offer hope. We haven't noticed this same phenomenon in our students who go to Catholic schools. have noticed the problems in their families. There's been a continuation of healthy living in this group of people. They're not suffering like the public school children and families. I'm hearing of a practice that I greatly encourage. Some in our own parish are doing this now. Families have begun putting cell phone baskets by the front door of their homes. Whether you're an adult or a child, when you come through that door, the cell phone goes in the basket. And when the adults and children come home, everybody puts it there. They can leave the phones on. They can let them ring and sound. They can use them. But they go in the basket. They don't go to the living room. They don't go to the dining table or the kitchen or, worse still, the bedroom. They're not needed. What's needed is to get that screen out of the way and say, "Hi, how are you? How was your day? What do you need to talk about?" And they can pray with each other. They can talk to one another and together confront temptations and problems. There is hope in prayer. When the disciples saw Jesus praying often, they became curious. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come.'" Jesus prayed. Prophets and teachers like John the Baptist taught their disciples, and they taught the Jewish traditional prayers, but they didn't teach the way Jesus did. This was new. Something new was going on. Say, "Father." Jesus prayed to his Father. We see it throughout the scriptures in the Gospels. And this is not how the Jews prayed. He even got in trouble for it when the Jews criticized him. Jesus was introducing his disciples to their Father. We have a Father, and his name is holy. And the Father wants to share his kingdom with us. Not what we have on earth, his kingdom, and for us to help bring it to earth. His kingdom is not of this world. Parents, introduce your children to their Father in heaven, not just to God, to their Father. And teach them, like Jesus teaches us, to persevere in prayer. And I tell you, he said, "Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Now, we've all experienced or heard or shared in the conversation, "I've been praying, but he doesn't hear me. I don't even know if he exists. It's no use to pray." Let's think about that for a minute. I'm more and more coming to the realization that our God is yelling at us. He's screaming at us. There's never a moment he's not revealing himself to us. So could it be possible that we are not listening, that we have allowed the world to occupy everything, every spare moment? But God is constantly revealing himself to us. But we listen to the world and the things of the world and the things on the screen more than we prepare ourselves to pray and listen to him. You have to stop and listen in order to hear anything. You have to make space and time for conversation to happen. I've heard too many parents say, I put dinner on the table, I'm having a conversation, and they're not even listening to me, they're looking at their screens. We're not listening to God. We often listen more to the world. And the world has an infinite number of messages to distract us and cause us to be deaf to God. God wants to give us gifts. He has lots of gifts to give us. He wants to give us the Holy Spirit. But all too often, we don't want that. We want the gifts of this world. Holy Father, help me win the lottery. Think about the problem of a prayer like that. We must make space and time in our lives for God, just like we need to make space and time in our lives for our spouses and for our children. And we must persevere in prayer, as we learn from the reading about Abraham. We should persevere also in making silence. We should learn how to make silence in our lives for those we love and for God. And listen quietly. God is calling. He's calling us home.